Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The verdict has now come down in the Ferguson case, and unfortunately, there was some violence and rioting after that verdict. What does Ferguson tell us about America? Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this very sensitive and obviously emotional situation involving the shooting of Mr. Brown, Michael Brown, and the issue regarding the officer, whether or not he should have been indicted. Now, Matt, I watched the prosecutor as he was announcing the verdict, and he was very detailed in terms of what this grand jury ultimately reviewed. And after listening to that recitation of what the grand jury did, it's hard for someone looking at it objectively to say that the grand jury got it wrong. We don't know everything the grand jury looked at. We do know that they looked at 70 hours of testimony, 60 witnesses, and many, many documents and other information. All was presented to this grand jury, which is very unusual to present that much information. But they looked at a lot of information almost as if it were a trial, and they found that there was no probable cause to even indict on any of the five counts. That was a very detailed research, a very detailed conclusion that they came to. But unfortunately, some people still wanted this officer to be indicted. And as a result, anger broke out. And there was looting and rioting, and about 150 or so gunshots were fired in the area following that verdict.
Well, yeah, and the St. Louis County prosecuting attorney, Robert McCullough, did a fantastic job in a measured, objective way of laying out the evidence and the exhaustive efforts that went into the grand jury, that he said that they put their heart and soul into arriving at this decision, a painful decision that everybody took very, very seriously. This, you know, it is indeed a tragic situation. It's heartbreaking. We pray for the family of Michael Brown. We pray for that community in Ferguson. But, you know, what I was taken aback by was just the utter ignorance and bias in that room with the media, that they just could not understand how, you know, they wanted their pound of flesh. And you know, with race baiters like Al Sharpton and others, and, you know, even Attorney General Eric Holder and President Obama himself fanning the flames here, it didn't matter what the facts were. It didn't matter what reality was. They wanted their pound of flesh. They wanted Darren Wilson, Officer Darren Wilson, to face trial and to be convicted for defending himself, as the evidence has borne out here. But the reality of this, Matt, as you and I have talked about off the air about this case, is that the problem isn't in the criminal justice system. The problem lies in the hearts of man. The problem is a cultural, societal problem that doesn't recognize the rule of law, doesn't recognize absolute truth. And if that young man, Michael Brown, had adhered to and respected the rule of law, I would be ventured to bet that he would still be alive today.
Well, let me say, I'm sure that there are times, obvious, where the police officers do get it wrong. They shoot the wrong person. They arrest the wrong person. Sometimes our justice system even imprisons people who are not guilty. There's no question about it. It's an imperfect system because we're imperfect people. But on the other hand, the situation in Ferguson is one in which it seemed to just turn into a race issue. And despite the overwhelming evidence that appears to have been presented to the grand jury, and despite the fact that Michael Brown actually injected himself into the window side of the driver's side and apparently punched Officer Wilson and was wrestling with him while Officer Wilson was still in the vehicle. And despite all of that information about him coming at Officer Wilson and Officer Wilson firing the final shot that killed him, or final shots, it seems as though all of that becomes irrelevant. It just turned into a race issue. And unfortunately, this country is more divided on race than it has been united. And unfortunately, even during the Obama administration, instead of helping with race relations, it hurt race relations, because it seems as though, whether it's here or whether it's in Sanford, Florida, that this administration injects itself into this issue and ultimately begins speaking about race. There's no question also that there is racism that still exists. But we must be reconciling, and I think it does reveal what's in the heart of individuals. We obviously have to have a change of heart. We can't simply just ignore the law. We can't just simply go out and commit crimes and disrespect the law enforcement and have no consequences. And on the other hand, we must stop racism where it really exists, but we must not create it where it doesn't exist.
Well, that's right. And you know, it's the tragedy is compounded with all of this when these mobs, this riotous mob, goes in and burns down 25 primarily black-owned businesses in their own community, basically raise their own community to the ground as a show of protest, hurting no one but themselves and their own community, taking the jobs and livelihoods away from members of that community as a show of protest. It just doesn't even make any sense, Matt. So isn't the problem really that we're seeing here, isn't the solution to all of this, isn't the greatest solution for reconciliation here, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. We need revival, and as a nation we need to return and turn back our face toward the founder of the universe and he who is responsible, I don't care what anybody says, for the founding of this great nation. We've got to return. We have to have a revival.
No, I think you're right. There's no question we have to have a revival. I actually believe that had the grand jury come out with an indictment, you would have still seen riots. I believe that, no question either way, whether the grand jury went one way or the other way, you would have still seen riots and looting. And why was that? Because I think that it was an excuse for some people to just engage in violence. And whether it went one way or the other way, I think they would have done it. Going back to your very point, what we need is a change of heart. We need revival. You know, when we start booting God out of the schools and we boot him out of our communities, and we have these silly lawsuits by Freedom From Religion Foundation and others where they just want to erase God from the public square, there's consequences when we operate in an environment that is godless and when we don't invoke the creator of the universe.
That's right. Not only godless, but lawless. And of course, who is the great lawgiver but God himself? And so when we have a president who himself engages in lawlessness, he sets a precedent, he sets an example for others to follow. He got up there and then had the audacity, after much of the lawlessness he's engaged in during his presidency, to say, we are a nation of laws, yet he himself has been ruling as an imperial ruler. And so it's not that surprising to me that we would see these rabble-rousers en masse go and burn down these buildings and stuff in a lawless manner.
Yeah, no question about that as well. You know, what we need is a real revival in America. It is the Great Awakening that ultimately gave birth to the American Revolution. Without the Great Awakening, the spiritual awakening, we would have had no civil liberty known as the United States of America, as our country. We need in America a new revival. Join Liberty Council as we pray for America. We engage this country and want to return it back to its Judeo-Christian foundations. That is our only hope, to go back to God and our Judeo-Christian foundations. For more information, visit lc.org. Again, our website is lc.org. I encourage you to pray for this country. We have the Liberty Prayer Network, headed up by Maureen Bravo. And this prayer network is a prayer intercessory network, praying for not only the Ministry of Liberty Council, but praying for America, with prayer intercessors all over the country. Join us in prayer for this country to return our nation back to its founding principles, back to God. We are one nation that says We are under God. We trust in God. We need to do that, not just on our currency, but in our hearts and our everyday reality. For more information, visit lc.org. Join Liberty Council as we advance family, faith, and freedom. Every contribution to this ministry between now and the end of the year, December 31, will be doubled. So your 25 becomes 50, your 50 becomes 100, and so forth. Join Liberty Council in prayer and strategically commit to this organization. Double the impact of your gift between now and December 31.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.